Jesus could say, if you love me, not if you fear me. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and verse 15.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
It seems to me in this passage that Paul teaches us that there were two great things, at least, just contextually here, there were two great things that occurred when the fullness of the time had come. There are really two sendings. Number one, God sent his Son into the world, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent forth his Son into the world. Number two, God sent forth his Spirit into our hearts. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth. Those are the same identical verbs, ex apostello, and they're in the same tense in those two verses. He sent forth his Son, and then he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now let's look at these for just a moment. First of all, Paul says, God sent forth his Son into the world. And it seems to me in verses 4 and 5 that Paul has two thoughts in mind. Number one, he speaks of his revelation, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's verse 4. He sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. First, his revelation. And he says really three things about his revelation here. One, he says there was a perfect punctuality. It happened in the fullness of time. Not only is there an element of perfect punctuality here, but also there was a perfect personnel. Do you notice? God sent forth his Son, and the Holy Spirit was involved as well. And finally, there was a perfect plan. Do you notice? In verse 4, he was made of a woman, made under the law. There's a racial emphasis there, and there's a judicial emphasis there. Paul speaks of his revelation. But then you notice, secondly, his redemption. That's in verse 5. Not only his revelation, but his redemption in verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It seems to me there's a twofold effect to this concept of redemption. Number one, there's the release of slaves. That's the very meaning of the word, to redeem them. There is the release of slaves. Number two, there's the reception of sonship, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's the twofold effect of the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The release of slaves, and that word redeem, to redeem them, ex agorazo is the Greek word, describes a purchase in the slave market which sets a slave free. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ does for us. Not only is there release from slavery, but there's reception of sonship here. Do you notice that we might receive the adoption of sons? This theme just seems to occur in so many places in the New Testament. It's one thing for God to purchase us from the slave market, to acquit us of the charges that are laid against us and then release us. That's what he does when we receive his Son as our Redeemer. It's one thing for God to do that. It's quite another thing for God, by a special and distinct act of favor, it's called adoption, to make us his sons and his daughters. It's one thing to be released from sin's penalty. It's another thing to be received into the family of God. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. Paul says God sent his Son into the world. But then he goes a step further. God sent his Spirit into our hearts. He sent his Son into the world, but he sent his Spirit into our hearts. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Everything is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a twofold emphasis in those verses. I think Paul means to teach us, number one, that we have an assurance. We have an assurance of our salvation. And I think that's the burden of verse 6. That's why God sent his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. As the Son was sent by the Father to achieve adoption and redemption, so the Spirit has been sent by the Son to bring us assurance of our adoption and our redemption. The Son achieves it. The Spirit assures us of it in our lives. And the Bible says, as he enters our heart, he cries, Abba, Father. And that simple but very profound utterance constitutes what Paul calls in Romans the 8th chapter, the witness of the Spirit with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The moment we receive The Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. God's Holy Spirit is sent into our being. Our dead human spirit is impregnated with the life of the Holy Spirit, and we are immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And as He takes up residence in our hearts, in effect, He cries, Abba, Father. And that is proof positive, evidence, His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons and the daughters of God, and God is now our Father. You know, it's a very precious term, Abba, Father. It's an Aramaic diminutive, literally. It means, literally, my father, but it was a special usage of the term father in Aramaic. It was a very affectionate term, a term of endearment. You could translate Abba Father, you could translate it Father, Dear Father, would be a legitimate way of translating that phrase. It has in it a world of loveliness, this word Abba. It was the word used by a young child to its father. Without being sacrilegious, that term means, it's roughly equivalent in the English language to the word daddy. It's a very warm and affectionate term. It was an everyday family word which reflected childlike trust and intimacy. It was the term used by the Lord Jesus Christ when He prayed in Mark 14 and verse 36 in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to His crucifixion. It is the word that you and I can use as we approach God in prayer, addressing Him as our Father, now that we are truly in the family. It's a very precious term. The instinctive cry, Paul says, of the Christian's heart is, Father, Dear Father, Abba Father. And because that is so, we are sure that we belong to Him. We find ourselves instinctively, since the Spirit has taken up residence within us, we find ourselves instinctively assuming the attitude and using the language, no longer of slaves, but of sons and of daughters. We have an assurance of our salvation. Do you notice the basis upon which God's Spirit is sent into our hearts? Do you notice the first phrase of verse 6? Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. That's the basis upon which God's Spirit comes into us. There's no other qualification needed. There's no need to recite some formula. There's no need to strive after some experience. There's no need to fulfill some extra condition. We need only to make certain of our sonship. We need only to make certain that we have been saved. And the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become the sons and daughters of God. In that instant, the Bible says, God's Spirit is sent into our hearts, and He comes crying, Abba, Father. And that becomes the instinctive cry of the Christian. God is no longer our judge. He's our loving Father. What an assurance, since He sent His Spirit into our hearts. We have not only assurance as a result of this new status, however, but I close with verse 7, we also have an affluence. Do you notice? Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And Paul's contrast here is between past slavery, that's what we once were, slaves to sin and to Satan, and present sonship through the finished redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the contrasts are easy to see. Are there contrasts between slaves and sons? Certainly are. The son has the same nature as the father, but the slave does not. When you and I became Christians, we became partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And that nature deposited in us when the Spirit of the living God took up residence in us immeasurably enriches our lives. What a wonderful thing to be a son, to be a daughter of God. The son has the same nature as the father. The slave does not. We have a new nature, which immeasurably enriches our lives. The son has a father, while the servant has a master. We're enriched as sons and daughters. No servant could ever say father to his master. But the moment the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts, Christians can cry, Abba, Father, Father, Dear Father. And then thirdly, the son obeys out of love, while the servant obeys out of fear. So Paul says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And Jesus could say, if you love me, not if you fear me, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14 and verse 15. Number 4, the son is rich while the servant or the slave is poor. As sons and daughters of God, we are heirs. And because we've been advanced to the status of adults through adoption, we are entitled to begin drawing upon our inheritance right now. God has made available to us the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1, verse 7. He's made available to us the riches of His glory, Philippians 4 and verse 19. He's made available to us the riches of His goodness, Romans 2 and verse 4. The riches of His wisdom, Romans 11, verse 33 and following. And all of these riches can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 1, verse 19, Colossians 2 and verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. Finally, the son has a future, while the slave has no future. We are sons and we are heirs. And the best part of our inheritance, the scripture says, if you want to read it, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. We are sons and we are heirs, and the best part of our inheritance is yet to come. The Father has made a provision for our future. And it's not just a temporal future, it is an eternal future through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The slave has nothing. The Son has everything. It's provided for us through the Son of God. We have an assurance. Verse 6, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, crying, Abba, Father, and we instinctively cry the same thing as He prompts us to do so. And we have an affluence. We're no longer servants and slaves. We're sons and daughters in the family of God. And we are because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Paul says, in the fullness of time, God did two precious things. He sent His Son into the world to achieve redemption and adoption. And He sent His Spirit into our hearts to bring assurance of redemption and adoption. In other words, He sent His Son to die for us, and He sent His Spirit to live in us. We're taught by Paul right here and in many places. We're taught that Jesus came to release slaves, and He came to receive sons. Are we still the slaves of the ugly things and the sons of the evil one? Or have we opened our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, this impeccable Savior and this incredible love? Have we opened up our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him so that we are released from slavery and received into the family? If you haven't done that, you got to do it. You ought to be released from that slavery of sin's penalty and power over your life, and you ought to be received into God's family. And you do that as you receive Christ as your Savior. You should come to Christ. You should receive Him as your Lord and Savior. We're taught beyond that that the Spirit came to bear witness of our sonship and remind us of God's fatherhood. Christians, we're the sons and the daughters of God, and He is our Father. Do we honor Him as our Father? We honor Him by obeying His every word, His every command. I wonder if we do that. He's our Father through the finished work of Christ. Do we honor Him and obey Him? We are the rich sons and daughters of God. We're no longer slaves. We're sons and heirs. We're daughters and heirs of God Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has enriched our lives. I wonder, do we spend our lives enriching others? God has enriched us. Do we share that message with other people? Do we make it our business to enrich others in the same way that God has enriched us by sharing with them this powerful message of release and redemption through Jesus Christ? If not, it's time for God to deal with our hearts and time for us to make the meaningful decisions to obey Him.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.